Ashford and St Peter's NHS Foundation Trust is a veteran-aware trust, which means it's committed to helping serving members of the armed forces, veterans and their families access healthcare services and find new careers in the NHS. In this month of June, we also see Reserves Day and Armed Forces Day taking place in the United Kingdom. So here with me, Andy Brown, in the Radio Way studios, I'm joined by Nadine Sharson and Aidan Parson to find out more about their connections between their roles here at the Trust and the Armed Forces. So welcome both of you to the studios. And let me start with Nadine and ask what your role is here at St Peter's.
So I'm a trained soldier for 2 years and a bit now, and I'm a trained signaller. So in the army, I operate the radios and the satellites so two regiments or squadrons can communicate with each other. So that's my day job in the army.
Okay, and here at St. Peter's?
My role in the hospital, I'm an IT help desk support. And just today, I got promoted to IT engineer.
Great. Congratulations on your promotion.
That's fantastic.
And what about you, Aidan?
In Ashford St. Peter's, I am currently posted as a service manager for general surgery, which sits in the general surgery, anaesthetics, critical care and theatres division. So I look after a team of surgeons and nurses and lots of the admin and operational support teams that help make the general surgery team all it is today. In the armed forces, I do something quite similar. So I'm currently posted as a medical troop commander with the 256 City of London Field Hospital, which is London's reserve field hospital. Here I look after the leadership and management of military healthcare clinicians. So we work in small unit teams comprising of ED doctors, general surgeons, pharmacists, physiotherapists, radiographers, healthcare assistants, biomedical scientists, amongst other wide-ranging healthcare clinicians.
And so that's your role in the reservists. So as a reservist, what does that actually mean in terms of being also involved here at the Trust? How do the two mix?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite an interesting dynamic. So obviously my role in NHS civilian healthcare is to sort of do back office logistics and make things happen and solve people's problems. I often say to all my friends and families that I feel like I'm an adult babysitter sometimes, looking after all of my consultant colleagues.
I'm sure, yes.
And it's quite similar in military healthcare context as well. Like I said, the way military healthcare is moving, we're working in much smaller teams, much more mobile, agile teams, and we've really got this ethos of small team working. So actually lots of the communication skills, the operational organisational skills that I have developed throughout my NHS career have helped me to do almost the same sort of function in the military.
So Nadine, why did you actually join the reservists?
It was during COVID that I started looking up what I can do during at this time. And I've always wanted to join the British Army to basically challenge myself if I can pass the basic training as a soldier and all the cool perks that comes with it. So I applied, and it's a voluntary thing. So I was a bank staff 2 years ago, I guess. And so I had a lot of time, and they were very supportive of any skills that you want to develop. So that's why I joined the reservist.
So you haven't been in the regular army, it is the reservist.
Only the reservist, yeah.
The reservist, all right. And Aidan, how much time does a reservist take up of your time?
That's a fantastic question. I get asked it quite a lot, actually, and how we sort of build it in and mould it into our civilian careers. Essentially, with the armed forces reserves, with the army, it depends on whether you're in a nationally recruited unit or sort of a regional unit. So a lot of the medical units, like the one I'm in, are local units. So we commit to 27 days a year, which has to be made up of a 14-day continuous training period. So we call it army continuous training or annual camp, as many of us in the reserves will know it. But essentially, it's almost like a zero-hour contract, Andy. So we can drop in and drop out when our civilian careers or civilian lives get a bit busy. We can sort of take the foot off the gas a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or we can go and dive right in and do as many days and as much training as we're possibly able to. The army offers all sorts of career opportunities, like we've mentioned, adventurous training, career courses, leadership courses, all sorts of stuff. So if you've got the time for it, and like we do here at Ashford St. Peter's, we've got very, very encouraging trust in terms of allowing us time to take leave and undertake reserve forces training, that we can commit to the reserve forces pretty much however much we like.
All right. So you talk about the annual camp. Which exciting places have you been with the annual camp, Nadine?
I'm going for the first time this year. I'm not sure, am I actually allowed to say it? Or
I see. It's a secret, is it? A secret location?
It's my first time, so I'm not really...
There you go.
Cyprus.
That's all right. We got away with that. I think Cyprus is okay. That's okay. What about yourself, Aidan? Is there places you can share?
Yeah, I think my annual camp at the moment, my team are actually on annual camp currently. They left on Saturday. They're up in the north of England. But I have been to a few different places across the world on sort of adventurous training. Most recently, the army took me took us on exercise Northern Cold Soldier, which was down in Avoriaz in France. It was adventure training focusing on ski, off-piste ski, ski touring, cross-country skiing. So lots of different places that the army can take you.
All right. Now, a question for both of you. So how does being a reservist help you with your role here in the Trust? Nadine, do you want to take that first?
I don't know if it helped me specifically get my job. Maybe it does look really good on my CV. But being a signaler doesn't really relate to what I'm doing now, which is IT. Right. I guess it just helps with my attitude, like what I learned from the army. Like, so in the army, you're trained in tough situations. And I guess I can apply to my everyday job, like, if I encounter a difficult user or an issue, then I just remember the stuff that I've been through in the army. Like, if I can do that, then surely I can deal with this at work.
Yeah. So. There's no tough users at Team ASPH. I'm sure there isn't on IT. What about you, Aidan?
Yeah, so I think the benefits I got from joining the military were twofold. Different people join the military for different things. Some people go to do something completely different to what they do in their civilian career, and they absolutely enjoy it. And some people use it as a sort of forum and a platform to bolster their civilian career and do something quite similar but in a different context, which is obviously what I chose to do in healthcare. I think secondly, the leadership aspects and the interpersonal skills we gain in the military are significant, and they're certainly transferable into civilian healthcare. I think at the moment, across the country and across the NHS, we're facing a workforce crisis, a people crisis, and as we know, the NHS is a people-based organisation, and leadership is key from both top down and bottom up. And actually, the army gave me the opportunity and gave me the platform to undertake some very significant and very useful leadership training. As a commissioned officer in the Army Reserves, I was fortunate enough to attend the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst, which is quite local to us down in Camberley. Obviously, people come from across the country in the Army to attend Sandhurst for their officer training, but its significance is international, it's worldwide, where we see people from governments all across the country and royal families all across the world sending people to take leadership training at the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst. So the leadership training I obtained there, and my ability to lead in arduous situations when we're cold and tired and I'm hungry and I haven't eaten for 40 hours and a bald Scottish man who's been in the army far too long decides to shout at me for my shoelaces being tied the wrong way, that really helps me sort of have that personality where I can stay calm and I can continue to lead with empathy and compassion. And I think that's really key to bring into my NHS career.
Brilliant. So here at Ashford and St Peter's NHS Foundation Trust, how many members of the Trust do you know are reservists? Is there quite a few?
I only know one consultant, Dr. Chikusu.
Yeah, I think there's about six members of the reserve forces across both. I know we've got some from the Army. We've also got personnel from the Royal Naval Reserve as well. Right. And also some that work sort of outside of the reserves, but in the Army Cadet Force as well, as sort of adult cadet instructors.
And in terms of support and benefits of being in the armed forces, what do you get from the Trust? What do they offer you?
So when I used to be a bank, there wasn't a lot because it's just a contract. But when I joined as a permanent staff in ASBH, I found out that I'm allowed to have 10 days leave from work, and it's paid by the hospital. And when I do go take that 2 weeks or 10 days in the army also pays me for that 10 days.
Right.
So that was the greatest benefit of joining as permanent staff, I guess, for me. Apart from the continued support from my supervisors and their acceptance that I might just leave anytime if I'm called to. So that was, I really appreciate it, I guess.
And if you suddenly get called up, how much notice do you get that suddenly you're going to be pulled back into the army?
It's a bit different based on which personnel and which unit you are in and sort of what job you do in the army. So the army reserves hold, or the army in general, hold units at different readiness levels. So for example, me as a reservist, I'm quite low readiness. So I'm on a notice to move that can be anywhere for about 6 months. So if I was, if my unit was selected to do a deployment, I was to take a deployment, I would get handed papers, I'd get given notice to move, my employer would be notified, and at which point you go through the legal process of actually being employed formally and permanently by the army at that point.
I mentioned earlier, Reserves Day this year is on the 21st of June, Wednesday the 21st of June. Armed Forces Day is Saturday the 24th of June, and the national event is going to take place in Falmouth in Cornwall this year. But here at St Peter's, there is a monthly Armed Forces Veterans Breakfast Club, and the next one will be taking place on Friday the 23rd of June at 10 a.m. And what will be happening there?
Yeah, so this is a really fantastic opportunity for both the Trust and the wider community to sort of highlight and celebrate what Ashram St. Peter's has been able to do as a Veterans Aware Trust. Over the course of the last 12 months, every month, we, alongside our sort of quality team and our veterans and our reservists at the Trust, we've been able to hold a monthly breakfast club. So Friday morning, we open our doors to veterans and reservists across the community. They will come in, they have coffee, they have breakfast in our education centre. And it really puts us on the map, I think, as an organisation that acknowledges the skills and the qualities that both serving reservists and veterans and their families can bring to the Trust. So Friday the 23rd, we'll be, again, like I say, we'll be opening our doors to the wider community, to veterans across our patch and reservists in the Trust. We're encouraging our reservists, like myself, I'll be in my green pyjamas down in...
You mean your uniform?
My uniform, Andy, absolutely.
In case the patients think, hello, what's Aidan dressing up in green pyjamas for?
Yeah. Exactly, I'll be in my uniform down in the postgrad, and really hope we can celebrate the skills and the qualities that our reservists have, and also tip our hat to the veterans and their families that we have across our community.
All right, so that's 10 a.m. on Friday the 23rd of June. If you want to find out more information about that, you can go to the Trust website, asph.nhs.uk/about-us/armed-forces-and-veterans, and that will have all the details. So a closing question to you both. What challenge have you encountered in the reservist that surprised you and you've managed to overcome it?
Okay, so there's something that I'm still trying to overcome, because as a outside of the army, so even on a personal level, I find myself as a very shy person, so I'm not as extrovert. And when you go to the army, you're surrounded by this old man, well, not old, but by this really
predominantly male, let's say.
Yeah. And for me to take a step to that circle on my own, I find it difficult to have to go through that training where they shout at you, they train you, and they tell you what to do, what's not right. That was difficult, I guess, but it's getting better. And I'm still trying to work on it every day.
Brilliant. Okay, no, that's all right. And Aidan?
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting challenges that I came across when I joined the Army Reserve was the acceptance of authority in the military. Obviously, we know the military has a set hierarchy, and people follow orders, and that's because we are legally obliged to do so, and people in the army are legally given the opportunity to command. Actually, I think the challenge was then when I, having had this military training and really good leadership training, that I came back to the NHS, where obviously we are reliant on being able to lead by consent and leading because our relationships with our staff and our people, that they want to follow us as leaders. And actually, therefore, when we are in challenging leadership positions in the NHS, where we're trying to get people to get on board and buy into the vision and the ethos of what we're trying to achieve. The difficulty is, in the back of my mind, I sit there and say, if this was in the army, they'd already be doing it by now. They'd be running around the field, and they'd be going to the furthest away tree and telling me what the tree said.
Memories,
which is a key memory for all of us running across.
Yeah, Nardi's got a little bit worried there about the tree. Okay, there we go. All right. Well, thank you both of you for joining me and talking about your roles as reservists in the armed forces, as well as a member of Team ASPH, and sharing your experiences. And that website again, if you are interested in finding out more about the trust here and the armed forces, it's asph.nhs.uk/about-us/armed-forces-and-veterans. And to you both, thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.